Her now is Mary Elizabeth McDonough. You know her and loved her as Erin on The Waltons, and she joins us right now at PNP Network. How are you?
I'm great. Thank you for the nice intro.
And it's nice to have you on. Tell us a little bit about where you're from, where did you grow up, and how did you get into acting?
Well, I am a born and raised Valley girl. So I was born and raised in the San Fernando Valley in Los Angeles. So I was sort of in the neighborhood, as it were, and I took a lot of dance when I was younger. And after a while, I bugged my mom and said, I want to be on TV doing dancing and cartwheels and commercials. So, you know, went to a couple phony agents, and my mother put me off for a few years. And then I went and got my very first audition, which was for The Homecoming, which was the Christmas story that became the pilot for The Waltons.
Wow.
Yeah.
So let me ask you, now you mentioned a few phony agents, and I wanted to emphasize that because there are a lot of phony agents and modeling people out there and all kinds of stuff, so you have to be aware of those kind of people. And most of them will ask for either money or
money.
Sexual favors if people are older. And neither
yeah.
one of them you want to pay.
Or long-term contracts.
Yeah, you don't want to pay any of those things.
Yeah. I'm on the a committee at the Screen Actors Guild called the Young Performers Committee as well.
Mm-hmm.
And we try and create policy that will help protect young performers now so they don't go through some of the pitfalls we did growing up. But you're right. You have to be so careful. If anybody asks you as a manager or anything for money up front to represent you, it's a no-no.
Right. It's unacceptable and it's not professional, so
it
don't do
not.
It. And it's interesting, you know, we've had many, many child actors on the show. In fact, I enjoy it very much, talking to them, because it kind of relives my childhood as well. And there's a new David Spade movie with many of these people on the show.
Yes.
I haven't seen the movie yet,
like
but
is it, Dickie something child actor?
Yeah.
Dickie Roberts,
yeah. So I haven't seen it yet, but I look forward to seeing all my old friends on the
yes.
movie. Do you ever get together? Do you ever do any, like, are there any Walton events around that you would go to and sign autographs and things? Or?
Always. Isn't that odd? Yeah, we have a Walton fan club, the Walton International Fan Club, and we get together at least once a year somewhere, and we travel. Sometimes we have them here in California, but a lot of times we do them in Virginia, where the show took place. And every fall, we would travel to Virginia around Charlottesville, and we meet the fan club. And now, we've just been so many years, they're like family to us.
Mm.
And we hang out and we tour the Hamner home, which is in Schuyler, Virginia, and have a really great time.
What was it like going on the show when you were young? Do you have a lot of memories of childhood memories of working on the show?
All of my memories of my childhood are
yeah.
working on
I mean, you kind of grew up on TV.
I did. I knew all of the Waltons more than I knew my own siblings. So we were all very close. We're all still very close. And I guess I'm lucky in a way. I consider myself very blessed because we all like each other. And our kids celebrate birthdays together. We do play dates together. John Wamsley, who played Jason, his daughter and my daughter are really close. They live 5 minutes away. And we are like an extended family, and we see each other all the time.
What's it like when you see, you know, occasionally you'll see the Waltons Christmas Carol or a Day for Thanks on Waltons Mountain. What do you think when you see those now?
Well, to tell you the truth, my daughter's 11, and she has never seen an entire episode of The Waltons, and I have not watched an entire episode for probably 16 years. So when I see it or I hear about it, it's always nice, but I actually have not sat down and watched the show. Isn't that horrible?
What do you think your kids would say if they saw it? They probably would be laughing hysterically, I would assume.
Well, my daughter looks very much like I looked when I was doing the show because she's the same age
mm-hmm.
as when I started. So it's people say to me, oh, gosh, it's just uncanny. It's just really interesting to see her because she looks exactly like you then. And, of course, I don't really see it. I see, you know, similarities. But, yeah, I think she knows about the show, and she knows the Walton fan club. She thinks they are the Waltons.
Mm-hmm.
And but she's never sat down and watched the show because it's on, you know, it's on twice a day in the States now, and it has been for years. But it's always on when I'm doing homework.
Mm. Ralph Waite and Ellen Corby were, you know, the matriarch and patriarch on the show. What were they like to work with?
Well, Ralph played my dad, and he is amazing. He's still like a dad to me.
Really?
Michael Leonard, who is my sister on the show, my mother on the show is more like my sister. Mm-hmm. But Will Geer and Alan Corby were the grandparents. And they were amazing, completely different. Now, being an adult, I wish that I had asked Will Geer more questions before he died, because he had an amazing life. He was blacklisted, and doing the Waltons was just the most amazing experience for him, having been shunned by America to be embraced by America. Mm-hmm. And he loved it. He loved the show, and he loved to meet people, and he was a botanist, and he was amazing. It was like having real grandparents. And Ellen Corby had no children of her own, so we became her grandchildren, and we called her Grandma.
That's kind of nice. You know, after the Waltons went off the air, I know you did a couple movies. I was looking through some of the video catalogs, and there's a couple of them, like Mom and Snowballing, that are around if you can find them.
Yes, true.
Did you get out of showbiz on purpose? Did it dry up? What happened to you? A lot of times after child careers, it's very tough to find work. Did you go in a different direction?
I stayed and worked for a while. When it's different than it is now. Now, young entertainers and performers and actors are encouraged to go off and go to college. You know, go to Yale, go to Princeton. It's a great thing. But when I finished the show, I was 20 years old, and you know, my agents and managers, the idea was very different then. It was, you stay here and you keep working and work. So I did that for a while, but then I did go off to college, and I went off and did theater, and I studied acting intensely. And then, unfortunately, I got silicone gel breast implants, which made me sick instead of helping my career. So my life took a different turn, and I still act now, but I act now more than I did when I was younger. And I also started to go behind the camera, and I'm a filmmaker and a producer and director.
And what do you have that's coming out that we should see?
I mostly do inspirational type videos, and right now I do a lot of corporate and a lot of inspirational educational films. I have a short film that was on the festival circuit for a couple of years, and I won a bunch of awards for that. But I haven't done a long-term feature yet.
Well, I'm happy you mentioned the silicone breast implants, because it kind of leads me to a question that will lead that to that. I mean, as I mentioned before, you grew up on TV.
Mm-hmm.
I would assume that you had an image of your own body, and what was it that made you go out and get those? I assume that you thought you would get work from them, but why did you originally put the implants in?
I put the implants in because I thought it would be fun. I thought it would help my career, because I was losing parts to actresses that were, you know, quote-unquote sexy and blonde and booby.
Mm-hmm.
And it was suggested to me that in order to compete and in order to get work in my chosen industry, that I needed to be sexy. And the All-American Girl wasn't sexy.
Now, who suggested this to you?
Agents, managers, casting directors, publicists, and other actors.
But there are even at back, you know, then there are actresses, you know, like Goldie Hawn, for instance, who are not large. And
Goldie Hawn actually was not working very much then.
Yeah,
to
really?
Tell you the truth.
Yeah.
This was in the 80s. You have to think,
yeah.
Dallas.
Yeah. Yeah.
Big hair, big boobs, lots of makeup.
Raquel Welch.
Yeah, well, she's natural, but, you know, you figure, you have to think of all of, you know, of the time frame of it, too.
Yeah. But so, back then, though, when you know, people were getting a lot of silicone implants back then, it was pretty much said, hey, don't worry, it's routine, it's safe, right?
Mm-hmm.
How long did it take before you had
a penny for every woman who has been sick, who has come to me and said, my doctor told me they would last a lifetime.
Yeah.
My doctor told me they would last a lifetime.
How long did they last before you started getting symptoms?
Well, looking back on it, I started getting symptoms right away. But it wasn't until after 3 or 4 years that I really started to have severe symptoms. And when I had them removed 10 years later, they were completely disintegrated sacks of gelatin sitting in my scar tissue in my chest. There was nothing left of the outer shell. the silicone had gone through my body and has, in my belief, triggered what has now been diagnosed as lupus for me.
Hmm.
So, you know, you have all kinds of chemicals in your body. We know that lupus can be chemically triggered. Your body creates an immune response to react to this foreign, you know, pieces of silicone that are moving through your bloodstream and through your body. And so it was a nightmare that lasted, you know, 10 years before I got them out. But I didn't really notice a lot of it, and I was in denial. I believed everything the press said, and I did not ever want to have another surgery. It was hard for me to choose to have the surgery in the first place because it felt fake to me.
Mm-hmm.
I felt scared, and I was so ashamed of doing it. I never told my mother that I even got the implants in until I got them out 10 years later.
She didn't figure it out by looking at you?
Oh, yeah. She knew, but, you know, she just kind of let it go.
Now, were you married at the time?
I was not married when I got my implants.
Mm. But were you married when you had them removed?
Yes.
And what was your husband's reaction? Obviously, he wanted you to be healthy.
Yes. Well, he had seen me disintegrate as a human being and lose my life force over our entire marriage. So he was nervous and scared, but he knew that it was the right thing to do because I felt I had to take away all the variables. And it was the right thing to do. My health has gotten better since I had them removed.
I've had quite a few actresses on who've had them removed and then had saline ones put in. Did you have anything put in, or did you just stay the way?
Are you kidding me? They wanted to. Every doctor, you know, some of my medical doctors said, don't have them removed. You'll regret it. You won't feel like a woman, you know, all this stuff. And I said, you don't understand. I'm dying. I'm dying a slow, painful death, like someone is draining my life force and my blood. I just have to I have to remove them. And every plastic surgeon that I saw wanted to put another set of implants in, to put saline in.
Mm-hmm.
But what people don't realize is that the outer sac, the envelope, they call it, of a saline implant is still made out of silicone.
Hmm.
It's a different type of silicone, but we don't know how silicone breaks out down in the body, so how can we consider it safe?
Well, it certainly isn't a natural part of the body.
No, and your body creates all kinds of, you know, it walls it off. It creates all kinds of scar tissue to try and get rid of it and to isolate it. Look at Pam Anderson. It's a perfect example.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Well, I think it's a shame, first of all, that this society has in any way measured women by their breast size anyway.
I agree with you.
And it's been reinforced with Playboy and newspapers and magazines and the TV entertainment shows and the movie business. You know, natural beauty to me is natural beauty, and the other stuff is just phony baloney. I don't like phony myself. I like real.
I agree with you so wholeheartedly, but it took me a really long time and really tough lessons that just altered my life in order to be able to find out what my own inner beauty was and what my value as a person and as a woman and now as a mother was. And it's so not about my body. It took me so long to find my value in my heart and my soul and who I am. But that's why I started the support group In the Know, and that's why I'm speaking out on this issue, and it's why I continue to, even though I don't want to be poster girl anymore. No one else will, and not a lot of actresses will come out and talk about it, and I think hopefully it will make a difference in some way. It already has. I have people who've said, you know, I've really thought twice about this. And Sally Kirkland, who had her implants out, saw me on television talking about it. And she was very, very ill. And she said to me, Mary, if I hadn't seen you on that show, I would never have I wouldn't have done it.
Hmm.
So,
how many actresses have joined you in this crusade? Anybody that you can talk about? Or?
Well, yeah, we have the support of a lot of actresses, some who've had implants, some who haven't. And coming to our first meeting, which has now turned into a press conference, we have Mariel Hemingway is very supportive. She has sent a statement. She's filming in Paris right now.
I know that she had them put in for Star 80.
Yeah.
Did she ever have them removed?
Oh, yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yep, she had the same sort of problems that all started after 3 to 4 years, after you have them. And Sally Kirkland is joining us. Lee Taylor Young, Dallas, talk about Dallas.
Mm-hmm.
and Linda Blair is in support, and Cameron Manheim's in support of what we're doing. My friend Alexander Paul from Baywatch is in support.
Mm.
Mindy Sterling from the Austin Power movies is in support. Judy Norton, who played my sister on The Waltons, is going to be there.
Mm-hmm.
And our my mother and my other sister, Cammie, and Michael Learned are coming.
Mm.
And we have a lot of women who are supporting the group, and we have specific actresses who are going to talk about their implant experiences, like Lee Taylor.
Mindy's been on here a couple of times, and she's a wonderful girl. And Linda Blair is a friend. She's great.
She is so great.
She's beautiful. She gets more beautiful every year, that
Isn't
woman.
Isn't she? I know. She is aging very well.
Mm, it's amazing. Yeah, it's a nice thing. And beauty is good, but health is even more important than beauty.
Amen. That's so true.
Getting them both together is a good combination, though.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the website's called intheknow.com, right?
intheknow.org.
Yes, intheknow.org. We'll have that on our website as well when we present the Mary Elizabeth McDonough interview.
Great.
On pmpnetwork.com.
Thank you.
I want to thank you so much for coming on, and wish you a lot of luck. Have you had any success in terms of getting any kind of financial compensation for your problem?
Oh, well, you know, the women have a very difficult time because, you know, there's the bankruptcy, you know, and all of that. But compensation, it's not like everybody thinks. It's not, you know, all the main company, as you know, filed Chapter 11.
Right.
So that has been all in litigation, trying to work itself out in the courts for years. Although I do believe there is some kind of a bankruptcy settlement now. Although my implants were not, only the chemicals came from Dow.
Mm.
So
the thing is that here's this company that you innocently use their product, and they give you lupus. You would think that, you know, they should compensate you because lupus is not a fun thing to have.
Well, they don't think they gave me lupus, you know, and they'll be the first to say, you know, there is no link. But that's our cry is, especially to the FDA right now, more studies. You cannot approve a product with only less than 3 years of data.
Hmm.
There, we know that there is a latency issue. So how can you say we're going to let silicone gel breast implants on the market, knowing that women have problems like 5, 6, 8, 10, 12 years later, when you've only done less than 3 years of research?
Right. It was alleged that all this stuff happened because of these chemical companies. We should mention that. And of course, they all went out of business or bankrupt because of the fact that they were being sued. But, you know, the whole thing is that now, isn't the FDA now saying that they were mistaken and actually they're pretty safe?
Well, they are not proven safe.
But isn't that the FDA is saying that now to people that
they're not. Actually, what the FDA is doing now is the FDA is calling is allowing the company to make them. They are allowing them to try and get them back on the market. So what happens is they are going to have what they call PMA, pre-market approval.
Mm-hmm.
And that's when they decide if they're going to let them back on the market or not. And what we're asking is that they're only, that they should postpone these meetings because there's less than 3 years worth of data that they're considering. And they're looking at, you know, old reports. So, no, they don't have to, and this is a medical device, so it doesn't have to be proven safe. It's very different now.
Here's my thing, and we have 9 million people out there listening to this right now, and I hope that you all listen to what I'm saying, and that is that you know that there are dangers inherent in putting anything in your body anyway, but especially these silicone implants. So if they come back on the market, just don't use them.
Exactly. And if you're going to, a lot of what I say is that I'm not anti-implant. I am pro-information and making a choice because when I had them, the information was not available to me because it was being hidden then.
Mm-hmm.
Now it's out. But a woman needs to know that she, if she chooses implants, that she cannot get a clean mammogram, that if she does get mammograms and has a family history of breast cancer, she needs to have 3 extra angles shot. So there's 6 angles. You need to go to a special person who knows how to do that. You need to pay extra, and your insurance won't cover it. A lot of women who have implants are losing their health insurance, period, just because they have them.
What about breastfeeding? Does that affect that at all?
Well, the Breast Milk Bank Society won't take breast milk from women who have had implants.
Because of possible leakage?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, I don't know. You tell me. Why would they do that?
Mm.
That's always, as a layperson, it's always amazing to me.
Well,
you
I mean,
I wrote the FDA, and they wrote me back and said, we have to give reasonable assurance of the safety and effectiveness of the product. We will approve it if there's reasonable assurance. Well, to me, reasonable assurance, I don't want the FDA to put a product on the market that someone would put in their body with only reasonable assurance.
Unfortunately for Americans, there have been many drugs that have been on the markets that have caused many problems to many people.
Mm-hmm.
And there are many devices on the market that have done the same. And people just have to use extreme caution before they do things to themselves.
And you have to know what you're getting into. And if you know all the risks and you decide that, yes, I'm going to save money and I'm going to have these replaced every 7 years or whenever one decides to deflate or rupture, you know, then great. If I may have pain, it may trigger an immune response in my system. It, you know, it may cause me to have joint pain and fibromyalgia and headaches and rashes, and it may just cause incredibly painful capsular contracture in my chest, and my wall of my chest will harden and tighten. If someone knows that and they're willing to do it, well, great. Let them make that choice, but they got to know all of the information first. And my concern also is that if the FDA allows implants that don't work, because we know they don't work, we know they rupture, we know they don't last a lifetime, we know that there are problems. Well, why would a company ever want to make one that does?
Hmm.
And there are women who want to have, you know, breast reconstruction after cancer. And, you know, why? There's no impetus for them to make a better, safer implant when they can put forth the ones that we know don't work.
Hmm. The only thing I can think of is using some kind of natural tissue surrounding a saline solution.
Well, that's available as well. That is a procedure that they do.
Hmm. Well, anyway, for folks out there, hopefully they get a little bit of education from Mary Elizabeth McDonough. And thanks for all the great Walton memories. And,
you're welcome. Thanks for having me.
It was a pleasure talking to you.
Okay, bye-bye.
Take care.